After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod, wise men from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star at its rising and have come to worship him." When they saw the star, they were overwhelmed with joy. Entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and falling to their knees, they worshiped him. We pray. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed. So the overall theme, once again, for this Advent season, the midweek services, is how to lose Christmas during Advent. Last week we focused on pursuing the wrong peace, and tonight it's focusing on the wrong Christmas spirit. There are many things that get in the way of the true Christmas spirit. Materialism, selfishness, covetousness are found everywhere during the Advent season, as if they were inseparable from the Christmas spirit. Commercialism and greed, businesses making money and doing so using all kinds of Christian symbols and words, even the word Christmas. Even Santa Claus, who is usually considered to be a great guy, just wanting to make children happy by giving them presents, is being exploited on TV and commercials and department stores by appealing to our children's and our grandchildren's and our selfish and covetous nature. It's about getting. But there always has been a pushback. In other words, there are always attempts in every generation where people say, no, this is not the real Christmas spirit. That is not what Christmas is all about. A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens is a classic example of this pushback. Ebenezer Scrooge, a miserly, self-centered, greedy, materialistic old man whose god is money, is visited by the ghosts of the past, present, and future. They show him how greed, selfishness, and hoarding money are contrary to the Christmas spirit. And so in the end, he becomes convinced and goes from the love of money and hoarding to the love of the less fortunate and giving. He goes from being a very sad and lonely man to being a very happy and joyful man. And so does a Christmas carol correctly explain and advocate for the true Christmas spirit? Did Charles Dickens get it right in this novel? Another great example of trying to redirect people to this sort of Christmas spirit is The Grinch Who Stole Christmas, one of our favorites. The Grinch despises the Whos of Whoville, who are about to celebrate Christmas. The Grinch is determined to destroy their merry Christmas spirit by taking their material possessions in one night, their presents, their trees, and their food. But the next morning, to his chagrin, they are nevertheless found to be celebrating Christmas joyfully, without all those things. And then, as the Grinch hears them sing, a change overcomes him. And he says, "Maybe Christmas," he thought, "doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas," he thought, "means a little bit more." Well, he did get that right. Christmas does mean a little bit more. But what is the Christmas spirit according to this story by Dr. Seuss? Well, we can say that both Dr. Seuss and Charles Dickens are saying essentially the same thing, that Christmas is not about selfishness and getting, but about selflessness and giving. It's about being kind and compassionate, especially toward the less fortunate, and spending time with those you love and care for. So this is probably the most common understanding of the Christmas spirit today, and has been for a long time. But the question still is this the true Christmas spirit? And even if it isn't, there's a couple things to commend it for. First of all, there are many wonderful things done in the name of this kind of Christmas spirit. Presents for children whose parents are in prison, food and clothing drives, sponsoring orphans, unexpected and anonymous gifts. You know, these things are very important and very God-pleasing. And we as Christians should engage in these not only during this month and season, but also throughout the year. The second thing that you can say is a positive about this kind of Christmas spirit, in one sense anyway, is that these stories reveal the reality of the human heart. It shows that the human heart can be extremely self-centered, greedy, covetous, and unloving. And what I found so interesting is that Dr. Seuss claimed that he himself was the inspiration for the Grinch. He saw the Grinch within himself, and he didn't like it, so he wrote this story. And we get calls at church from time to time of people looking for financial assistance. People who have no connection to our church, or probably to any church. And regardless of whether they are in sincere need for assistance from somebody, because, you know, we have to acknowledge that there are some who are stealing, who are lazy, or who are addicted to begging. But regardless whether they're sincere or not, or really need something or not, what I've noticed, at least within myself, is that the Grinch and Scrooge attitude can easily crop up. And I end up saying to myself about the person who calls for financial assistance, even if you are a case of legitimate need, I don't want to sacrifice my time or my money to help you. Isn't there someplace else you can go? And even on those occasions where I do help, I still see that Grinch-like temperament within my heart. So these stories reveal a sinfulness that maybe we normally wouldn't see within ourselves. But the question still remains, is love toward others and giving to others the essence of the Christmas spirit? And the answer is no, it is not. So what is the Christmas spirit all about? Well, to that we go to a third story where we can see one who got it right. We go to a Charlie Brown Christmas. And we go to Linus. Charlie Brown goes out and gets a scrawny, humble Christmas tree for the school Christmas program. His friends wanted him to get an expensive, glittery, artificial tree, for that represents Christmas for them. And when he brings in the scrawny tree, they scorn him, make fun of him, call him dumb, and laugh at him. So confused and humiliated, Charlie Brown says, "I guess I don't know what Christmas is all about." And then he kind of shouts out, Is there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about? And Linus says to him, sure, Charlie Brown, I can tell you what Christmas is all about. And then Linus, without commentary, recites Luke chapter 2. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And he goes on to recite a little bit more. And then Linus says, that's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. And then at the end of that movie, that story, so there's no doubt what Linus means. All the children gather around the small, little, scrawny, humble tree that they have now beautifully decorated, and they sing. They sing the first stanza of Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Hark the Herald Angels Sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies, with the angelic host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. So if we want to know what a Christmas spirit is all about, we simply do what Linus did. We go to the original and true Christmas story in the Word of God. We let it speak for itself. And then the next best place to go for the true meaning of Christmas are those magnificent Christmas hymns based on the original Christmas that accurately explain what Christmas is all about. The Christmas spirit is not about getting presents, though we may do so. The Christmas spirit is not even first and foremost about us being kind and compassionate and selfless and giving, though we are to do so now and every day of our lives, for we are followers of Christ. A true Christmas spirit is about gathering around and bowing down before a small, scrawny, humble baby. For that child is the Christ born in Bethlehem, the everlasting King, the incarnate deity, going from the manger to the cross so that God and sinners would be reconciled. So, we can get a Christmas tree. By the way, these things I'm listing now are things that the Thompsons always do. We can get a Christmas tree, decorate the house, receive and give Christmas tree, decorate the house, receive and give presents, enjoy Santa Claus, kind of, sing secular Christmas songs, eat lots of cookies, watch a football game, and do many charitable deeds during this season. But in the heart and mind of the Christian, all these take a back seat to the real message of Christmas. Bowing down before the one through whom God and sinners are reconciled, the newborn King. He came and is coming again to reward those who have bowed before him in faith. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forevermore.